I have to stop taking all these breaks. I got to get back on my job as a podcaster. But I'm here though. This is the Council Connection. I'm your host, Fabian Vicks, and this episode is dedicated to the milestones and what teachers, students, and parents should be prepared to help scholars be at the best of their ability for getting the highest possible score on the milestones. Of course, we're going to have my housekeeping items and my final thought on self-care, which we're at a time folks don't realize we are still in a pandemic, but we still need to be ready to take care of our bodies and our mental health. As you know, this is the part of the show I say, let's go.
Popped out the Benz like it's common sense. Got a monkey on my feet like it's common sense. Got gorillas in the streets like it's common sense. Stack the money heads up like it's second nature. Got a stay pulled up like it's second nature. Keep a chip in my hair like it's second nature. Big window make me set like second nature.
All right. We are at that time of year, wherever you are in America or around the world, we are at summative assessments. Folks that might be listening and heard those terms before and might think it's interchangeable with formative assessments. There's a difference. Formative assessments discuss what you have learned on what you have learned within a like a specific time frame, like the last couple weeks on a unit, like a unit test. Summative assessments discuss basically what you've learned for the whole year. So those are different things that we are that we did disaggregate when we talk about summative and formative assessment. So in Georgia, we are discussing milestones for my district. They are starting on Monday, and of course, this can show what your scholars have learned for the year. Of course, you should know what they've learned through the year through formative assessments, progress monitoring, table talks, student-led conferences. If your district or school does that, that is a form of student advocacy to discuss what they learned that year and where their standings are with their grades and how to calculate GPAs and all that stuff. So that's something for another topic for another day. We might do next year for season four, talk about student advocacy, which I would love to do and get some students on here, but I'm digressing from milestones. But if I'm looking at the Georgia Department of Education's webpage, and what is the purpose of the Georgia Milestones? From their page, GADOE.org, and if you just you could just Google Georgia Milestones, it'll take you directly to the page. It says the Georgia Milestones assessment system is designed to provide information about how well students are mastering the state-adopted content standards in the core content areas of English language arts, mathematics, science, and social studies. Importantly, Georgia Milestones is designed to provide students with critical information about their own achievement and their readiness for their next level of learning, be it the next grade, next course, or the next endeavor, which is college or career. It's essential to make sure that you are informing educators, parents, and the public on how well students are learning, and important content is essential in any aspect of any educational assessment and accountability system. So, as you know, different grade levels, if you third, fifth, and eighth grade students are tested on ELA, math, science, social studies. I believe it's just now, I know eighth grade, you get tested on the four content, main major content areas. And some areas might use that as a area for promotion or promotion placement or retention statuses. So if you're at a develop at a beginning learner, that's a you get to retake it during summer school. You get remediated in those areas that you have to retake for the test. To me, that can be a little bit stressful for scholars. So why I'm talking about milestones on this episode is to make sure that we have our scholars ready for testing. I might be a tad bit late I should have did this episode a couple weeks ago before leading into the milestones, but I was on my self-assessed hiatus, take a break from, you know, just self-care, which I'll get to my final thought. But some of the things that we need to make sure that our scholars are ready for the milestones is making sure that we are trying to decrease some screen time for scholars, because they're going to be looking at computer screen. There are a lot of areas are going one-to-one technology now because of the pandemic. It's showing the disproportionality of available technology for students as far as internet devices to use. That's one thing that this pandemic has shown, that in some areas are lacking. You have some rural areas, you have some urban areas that just don't have the proper funding or equipment to give to each scholar. So the pandemic has opened up eyes of educators to make sure that some type of device is in students' hands, so that way that will close a gap for them to be successful. Especially with Chromebooks, iPads, possible tablets are being assigned to students to make sure that they're familiar with those devices. So when testing is beginning for those scholars, they'll be ready to be successful as far as knowing how to use it and where to log in, where to go to access those specific platforms. But one thing we need to make sure is when we talk about decreasing screen time, we're not saying take away the screen from your scholars, but making sure that, you know, they're doing something other than playing Roblox or Fortnite, 2K, Call of Duty, so Madden, so forth and so on, that we try to engage them in reading some books, physical books, not a digital book, because that means you involves you being on your screen. Me personally, a digital book is easier. That means I have to lug it around, that I might lose it. But if it's on my iPad or my computer or my phone, I can read it easier. But I love the touch and feel of a book. You actually hear the page flipping, folding it down, have to find an actual highlighter to highlight the spots that you want to remember, or highlight areas that you want to discuss with your colleagues, or if you're presenting on something, you can highlight it, then you could just type it in your presentation. Decreasing your screen time can, one, help your vision in the long run, and plus it gives you a break from that white screen, so that way your child will be able to go to bed easier at night, which goes to my second point. Making sure your scholars get the requisite 8 to 10 hours of sleep, especially scholars that are, let's say, starting to take milestones in third grade, which puts them at 8 or 9 years old. Anywhere between 8 and 17 years old, you need to get about 8 to 10 hours of sleep, so that way you're well rested for the milestones or any state summative assessment that you may be doing. We're just using Georgia as an example. The third tip I will use is also making sure your scholar has breakfast in the morning. It's the most important meal of the day, because let's say, for instance, you don't eat breakfast when you take the test, your stomach could be hurting, or you get cranky or angry that you didn't eat anything. So you want to make sure that you put something in your stomach, not Takis or hot fries, anything like that, because that is shown that they cause ADHD. But you want to make sure that you eat a well-balanced breakfast or something healthy, or, you know, just make sure you have something in your stomach, like, you know, sausage biscuit, some fruit, oatmeal, Pop-Tart, something. So that way it'll help you focus during the test. Another tip I've done research on as far as testing, and we did this last year with scholars, have some peppermints for them to have some peppermints on them for them to eat while they're taking the test. I know you're not supposed to eat them, but peppermints do have a benefit for testing. Now, if you give me a second, I'm gonna look up and give you the exact wording for why we should do peppermints for testing. It shows that it gives a sustained focus. It says by University of Cincinnati, a whiff of peppermint helps people taking tests concentrate during tests that requires sustained focus. So if you let's say, for instance, just taking a test, it says there's half students that were, in one study, it says half students were given peppermint candies during the test. The students who consumed the peppermint scored 10% better than the students who didn't take the peppermint. That means they were more stimulated. So that means peppermint gives a stimulation for scholars to be more focused on the test. That doesn't mean that's just for scholars. Let's say, for instance, you're a school counselor intern or a school counselor student or a nurse or a prospective doctor about to take the MCAT. Eat some peppermint while you take the test. It will help focus you way more, and you should score 10% higher. That's what the study says. So when if you take some peppermint, it'll help you be more focused on testing. I hate testing. When I was growing up, I'm an anxious test taker. I was a good student, but testing was just which makes me so anxious and scared and didn't know what to do. If I would have had peppermints back when I was in retail, I would have taken the pharmacy certification test only once, possibly, because some of y'all know I worked at Walgreens for a few years, and I wanted to be a store manager, and one of the requirements was you had to be certified pharmacy technician, and there's a pharmacy test. That's one of the hardest tests I've ever taken in my life, and the first time I took it, I missed it by 20 points. The second time I took it, I missed it by 5 points. Then, of course, third time I took it, I passed it. If I was, you know, cognizant of that, I could have kept my certification up just to keep it up and could have studied and got my CEUs and kept my certification. But that's neither here. That was a former life of mine while I was in retail management. And just so you know, like if you get an adult, you want to be a teacher, you have to take the GACE or whatever, or the Praxis or whatever state mandated test for certification. Those tests are not cheap, and you don't want to keep spending money on tests. You have to be prepared for them. So doing little tricks like eating peppermint and studying, of course, and make sure you know the content, and, you know, eating some peppermint during the test will, of course, help you be more focused and stimulated for a test. Another thing would be to Google if you haven't did the milestones or if your state hasn't started testing yet, find a practice test for your scholars to use on their devices. Of course, Georgia Milestones with Georgia Department of Education has provided a link for, you know, where you can go ahead and click on the test and actually practice logging into the test. So if you have a third grader or a fifth grader that's nervous about taking the milestone, get them used to that platform, so that way when it's test time, they'll be ready for it. Milestones just aren't for third through eighth graders. You have your high schoolers that are going to take end of course tests, which are different than end of grade tests. End of course test means you're taking, this is the end of the course, and this course is 20% of their grade. So why it's imperative to make sure that scholars, one, like I said, know the content, get rest, familiarize themselves with the platform, peppermint, all this stuff, because this is actually 20% of their grade. So if they have a 70 in the class right now, 75, and they don't do well on the end of course, that possibly means they can fail the class. But we need to make sure that we put the best tools and make sure we put our scholars in the best position for success in everything we do. So make sure that you get plenty of rest, decrease your screen time, eat some peppermint, go to the practice the milestone through the or to your state assessment through a practice site, through your state's Department of Education, and rest, relax. You've been doing this all year. You're ready. Just make sure you do your best. That's all we ask. We want you to do your best. Now we'll be right back with my housekeeping items right after this. This is the part of the show where I do my housekeeping items, things that we're going to have upcoming on future episodes. And, you know, I want you to look forward to it so you can stay tuned and listen to it. So, of course, we start off with, you can find me on the Twitter at Fave the PSC. You can find me on Facebook, The Counselor's Connection with Fabian Vix. You can also find me on FaveTheCounselor.weebly.com. I tweet my page a little bit, update a little bit, but it's you know, I'm still working on it. I just don't have the time to keep up with a web page. I used it as a digital resume, and I still have it up, but I need to use that to the full capacity. I don't want to pay any extra money on it because I'm cheap. I ain't gonna lie. I don't want to buy extra features. I just like using it for a digital resume so I can put it out there, you know, for what I can use. But that's enough of my business. I'm telling on that. But you also can find our podcast on, of course, anchor.fm/Fabian, F-A-B-I-O-N, minus sign Vix, Spotify, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Overcast, Google Podcasts, and of course, Apple Podcasts. Those are the platforms where you can find this wonderful treasure that I've loved doing for the last 3 years. Some episodes that are going to be upcoming for this podcast, we're going to have Jeff Miller and Aaron Bundridge from Woodland Middle School. They're going to talk about going ramp, and they recognize as a ramp school this year. So congratulations to them. Some good friends of mine in Henry County. Can't wait to have them on. We're also going to, in a future episode, probably in June when things calm down, quote unquote, Caroline, Perry, and Steve Sharp, we are going to be talking about Marvel movies and DC movies possibly, and talk about, you know, how that applies to school counseling, especially Moon Knight. Moon Knight is a character in the Marvel universe. He deals with DID, dissociative identity disorder, split personalities, and this show is wild. I love it. I'm still lost. I'm confused, but I'm not going to give it away if you have not watched it yet. So we will be discussing that show when it concludes, and we will talk about that. Maybe we might get in Ms. Marvel. Possibly might get in Spider-Man No Way Home. If I ever get to watch Morbius, I'll watch Morbius. Batman also. There's a lot of things we could tie into school counseling with those shows and movies, and we love talking about them. We did that with Watchmen and Endgame, and a couple of different shows that we've watched, and we talked about it, and we chopped it up for about an hour, and it was very enjoyable. We had a lot of people listen to it. Couple of things I'm going out there. Of course, you could go to what I call the parent portal. If you go on anchor.fm/Fabian-Vix, if you go to that page and you click on the message page, you could click on the message page, the message tab, excuse me, and leave a message for us. Or, you know, if you have any comments or things you would like to see on the show, I'll air your comments. And of course, I will put it on the next episode of the show and respond to it. Would love to have you click on that. Also, there's a support button where if you click on the support button and you you could donate something, contribute something to us per month. And you got three different tabs, like 99 cents per month, $5 a month, or $10 a month. This way it can help me sustain different episodes, so that way I can make sure I give you the best quality information and collaboration and advocacy for school counselors out there. We'll love to have you donate to this podcast, so that way we make sure we can keep pushing out great content for you. So if you want to donate 99 cents a month, that's fine. Whatever you feel led to donate, that'll be greatly appreciated. Also, looking at a future episode, you remember back in August, we had some counselors at the beginning of the year talking about their start on their journey for school counseling. I'm going to find them. We're talking to three counselors we had Yesis, Melissa, and Vernice talking about what they expect or foresee going into this school year, and this is their first year as counselors. I want to also talk about how their year went, what was expected, or what shocked them as well. And I'm going to discuss that with them. Also, don't forget, I will be at the American School Counselor Association Conference in Austin, Texas this year. Me and my friend Diana Virgil, friend of the show, we are going to be presenting on the counselor, strengthening the counselor-principal relationship. That's the topic we presented on back at GSEA in November, and it got picked up for ASCA, which I'm very excited, nervous, scared, pumped up, anxious, scared to do, because this is a big deal to me, making sure you have that relationship with your principal, so that way your counseling program can flourish, and we're going to have counselors from all over there. So I don't know what the demographic is going to look like, but it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be different. So this is going to be me and Diana's presenting at ASCA a couple times. So this is my first time. So if I'm nervous and shaking and stumble on words or talk faster than what I usually talk, you know I'm nervous. So if I talk fast and I seem fine, then I'm not nervous. I just talk fast anyway. But that's probably a nervous tick in me anyway. But that's neither here nor there. That's enough talking about myself. But we'll be right back in my final thought on self-care. A lot of that going on right here. So we'll be right back. Keep it locked. Faye's final thought. We are still enthralled in a pandemic. If you're not vaccinated, you'll get vaccinated. But just making sure as we come into the end of the year as school counselors, making sure that when the school year ends, whatever time that is, if it's with the teachers, if you're a 190 contract, or if you're a 205, 200, or 220, make sure that you use your downtime away from work. Some tips I'm going to give you to do for those people that are trying to figure out how to self-care for themselves when the end of the year happens. Turn on your away email until you come back for pre-planning. Delete your work email off your phone. Do not take your work computer home unless you use it for like schoolwork. Those three topics for me are the best three things you can do to make sure you have a lot of self-care. That way you're not tied to work during your break time. Where I'm at, I'm 220, and sometimes we have to split our days up to make sure you have coverage in the building. And it's kind of hard to turn off sometimes because there's so many things we have to do to make sure that we're ready for the next year, like with schedule changes or collaborating with our registrar for registration, and transcripts need to be sent out, or student want their report card or a copy of the transcript to take with them, anything like that. But making sure that you do not have yourself plugged into the matrix at all times can keep your sanity. One thing I started doing this year is, unless it was absolutely necessary, I had to do it at the house, I do not bring my work computer home. I do have a computer here. It is my computer, but I make sure, unless it's something that needs to be taken care of, or I have to do a DFAX report or something that's pressing that needs to be taken care of before I come back to work the next day or that Monday, I will log in. But other than that, I make sure I'm not tied to work, because that keeps me grounded, frees me up to be to self-care in my own way, spend time with my family, make sure that I'm giving them all of me and not a part of me. So make sure you do those things. Another thing is, if you feel like you need to get outside counseling, or, you know, if it's grief counseling or just regular therapy for compassion to fatigue or whatnot, which we discussed on a previous podcast, make sure that you get that, because you do not want to go into the next year burned out before the year even starts, because you're burned out from the previous year. Take some walks, read a book. It is okay to watch TV all day and don't do anything. This year and last year, especially during the pandemic, where making sure that we look out for ourselves, like I said a few seconds ago, to make sure that we're our best selves for our families, because we have to be here. We can't take care of others, we can't take care of ourselves. Just plain and simple, make sure you do those things. Make sure you're eating healthier, or, you know, proportion control for me. Don't eat past 9 o'clock unless you literally can't help it. and then try to work it off, and don't try to eat and then go right to sleep, because that's going to be unhealthy, because it's going to cause some digestive issues, weight gain, just to name a few things that it can cause. I know, like I said, I've started dealing with high blood pressure this year, and I didn't realize I weighed my weight, which I will not discuss on here. But I noticed I've changed some habits as far as what I eat for lunch. So I try to make sure I eat salads for lunch. I try not to eat past 9 o'clock. I know 8 o'clock is more ideal time, but 9 o'clock is more feasible for me. Get some more steps in at work. Build is a little bit different from my previous school. So my previous school, I used to average 8,000 to 10,000 steps a day. Then it was upstairs and downstairs, so I was getting my cardio that way. Now, that's cut in half, but 6,000 steps sounds good. You could burn about 200 to 400 calories per day. So that's a good way to exercise. And I lost 7 pounds. So as a start, so I'm trying to get to I have a goal in mind as far as my weight. So that way I can control my blood pressure, which has been pretty good since I've started dealing with it. So make sure that you're eating healthy and eating properly, and make sure you don't eat too late and unless you can't help it. Those are some of the tools that I use for my self-care right now. Some people drink wine. I do partake in adult beverages sometimes. I just don't do it right now because I just don't. But I love a good adult beverage every now and then to, you know, relax and, you know, that sort of thing. But just make sure you do it in moderation and safely, and don't operate any vehicles after you partake in an adult beverage. Those are my self-care tips that I have, and they're doing okay for me right now. Of course, there's always ways to be better at some stuff, so you want to make sure that you are always taking care of yourself. Because, like I said, if you can't take care of yourself, how are you going to be able to take care of anybody else? Thank you for listening to my podcast. I want to thank you for that, and I'll see you on the next episode. We out.
Like it's common sense. Got a monkey on my feet, like it's common sense. Got gorillas in the streets, like it's common sense. Stack the money heads up, like it's second nature. Got a stay pulled up, like it's second nature. Keep a chip in my hair, like it's second nature. Big wonder make me sweat, like second nature.